So the reading is from Galatians chapter 5. My husband's doing hand signals at me. Is that better? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26. And it's on page 1172 in the church Bibles. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening. Hello. My name's Ed. Emma, who just did the reading, is my wife, and us and our three kids who are all here somewhere. I think Joan is asleep, and the other two are waving at the back. And we have been part of this church, I think, for about 7 years, something like that. 8 years. There you go. If I don't know you, hello. If you're new, you're welcome, and come and say hello afterwards. So tonight we're continuing our journey into these fruits of the Spirit. And today we're looking at faithfulness. I don't know about you, but faithfulness isn't one of the sexy ones, is it? Is that just me? I don't know. You know, it's not, but it's also not one of those words that's necessarily an easy one to comprehend or to kind of assimilate in your head. You know, faithfulness, that's that. I know what that is. You know, not, it's not like love. We all know what love is, don't we? Or we think we do. Or gentleness. I mean, gentleness or kindness. They're kind of a bit more self-explanatory, aren't they? I'm going to tell you a little story to start with. So it's a Wednesday evening church meeting. A very wealthy man rose to give his testimony, and he said, "I'm a billionaire, and I can attribute all the rich blessings of God in my life to God in my life. I can still remember the turning point of my faith. It was like yesterday. I just earned my first dollar, and I went to a church meeting that night, and the speaker was a missionary who told about his work. I knew that I only had a dollar bill and had to either give it all to God's work or nothing at all. So at that moment, I decided to give my whole dollar. Now, I believe that God blessed that decision. And that is why I'm a rich man today." I'm not sure about that theology, but, you know, we'll talk about that another time. As he finished, it was clear that everyone had been moved by this man's story. But as he took his seat, the little old lady sitting next to him leaned over and said, "Wonderful story. I dare you to do it again." Faithfulness. As I was preparing this week, I've had the privilege to take a bit of time out. Big thanks to my wife who let me go off for a couple of days on retreat. And I was put onto this time away by a friend of mine. And I suppose you could call it a course. Guided retreat's probably better. We spent quite a lot of our time on our own. And I said, "Great, I'm up for that." Not really knowing what it's about, having not read the literature, you know, signing up and just paying my money and, you know, turned up on Thursday morning to this thing and discovered it was called faith walking, having no idea that's what it was called or what it was about. And here I am talking about faithfulness. So God's been preparing me one way or the other. Okay, where do we start? Let's look at this word and try to understand what's being communicated to us. And then we're going to maybe look at how we can apply it in its meaning and in its context as a fruit of the Spirit, and then how that looks in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Faithfulness. I'm just going to break it down. Faithfulness. It's fairly simple, isn't it? We can follow that. Faith. What is faith? The writer of Hebrews puts it like this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So in essence, it starts off with belief. But belief in what? Well, belief in God. Belief in Jesus and who he was and what he's done and what he continues to do. And ultimately, in his death, the story of his death and his resurrection and what those events mean. Interestingly, as I've been looking at this week, belief starts, I think, with humility. That belief that we're not actually God, we're not actually in control, that we're not perfect or even good in all our ways. Sometimes we can be good in some of our ways, my children know this. Sometimes they're good and sometimes we're working on it. And I'm the same. We all fall short though, don't we? Short of who we want to be and what we want to do. So there's no way to come to God, to be in relationship with God, that doesn't involve surrender, humility. But God has desired for us to be in relationship with him since the beginning of time, and to be connected to us intimately. Psalm 51:6 says this, I really like this. It says, "Yet you desired faithfulness, even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place." Faithfulness is a fruit that grows. It grows as we stay in relationship to God, in intimate connection with him. You might ask, how do I know this? Well, it's what I see in Jesus and in the stories of Jesus. I see Jesus is intimately connected with the Father. What does this mean? What does it lead to? Well, it led to Jesus being filled with the Spirit. What was the outworking of him being filled with the Spirit? It's obviously the fruit of the Spirit, with faithfulness. Jesus believed and knew and trusted the Father. And if you know the story of Jesus, you know he trusted him all the way to the cross and out the other side. But it meant surrender, full surrender. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of a grace guy. You know that. No matter how much you mess up, God still loves me. Thank you. And that's true, right? How about life's so busy, you're exhausted, just a million things going on. It's good to know that God is also coming to give us peace and rest, isn't it? Have some of that. I need some of that. How about this? You need to surrender. You have fallen short. You're stubborn. You're stiff-necked. You're self-centered, self-promoting, self-serving. Your ability to perceive your own shortcomings is blinded by self-deception. You need to bend the knee. You need to submit your heart. You need to confess, to surrender. Surrender's a hard word, isn't it? Well, the good news is I know at least one person here that needs to do that. And he doesn't want to hear it. That's me. But Jesus doesn't come to rearrange the outside of our lives, you know, to make things pretty and be all perfect and, you know, three beds, three kids, a dog and a mortgage. That's not what Jesus is about. He came to rearrange the inside. He came to rearrange our hearts to the way the Father wants them. And our Father wants our hearts to reflect his heart. For that is how I believe it was designed to be, how it was created. And what's God's heart like? God is faithful, right to the top. Psalm 57 verse 10 says this, "For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." All the way up. And we see it, don't we? We see it in all the stories of the Bible. Again and again, God is described as faithful. When he speaks, it happens. He speaks and creation comes into existence. He says something and it occurs. He makes a promise. That promise comes true. And if it hasn't come true yet, we know it will come true. He is utterly true and utterly trustworthy. Psalm 86, it says this, "But you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." I don't know about you, but I often find there's a bit of a gap between what I say and what I do. It's not intentional. I have the best intentions most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time. But often we find that we'll promise something and we'll hopefully deliver on that promise. But sometimes we fall short a little bit. Sometimes we fall short quite a lot. And there's a bit of a gap, what I call a gap. Some people call it an integrity gap. But the truth is, we aren't utterly trustworthy. We aren't utterly true. When I was away these last few days, they framed some stuff for us to help us think about some things. And one of the concepts they gave us was these different parts of ourself. Often we can compartmentalize things a little bit. And they described it as you have like a public persona, a public me, a public self. And that's the me I present to the world, to the people see what I show. But there's also the private me, the self that I show to those who are closer to me, who are my friends, who I trust. But there's also the secret self, where my fears dwell, where my soul is, where my inner being is. The place that is utterly my own. Now, I think God wants to be part of all those places. Secondly, the second part of the word is full. We are to be full, that is, not empty, but also not partly filled, but full up. We are to be full of faith. Again, as this is a fruit, you can see that it is something that develops in our life, something that grows. That's the analogy, isn't it? The fruit of the Spirit doesn't just ping, there it is. I wish it did. It'd be nice and easy, wouldn't it? But it's something that grows. But things that grow need to be tended. They need to be nurtured. They need to be looked after. They need to be watered and fed and cared for. So how do we grow faithfulness in our life? Well, I think it occurs as we engage with the Father, as we allow the Spirit of God to fill us, and as we allow God to illuminate the gaps in our lives. As we surrender and allow God into every part of ourselves, I don't know about you, but I know some of those parts. the parts that we hold back, the parts that are painful, the parts that disappoint us, that we desire changing. And there's also the parts that maybe we're not aware of yet. But God's Spirit, as it comes, brings light to the darkness. And it's described in the Gospels as like a lamp on a table. It illuminates everything around it. Let me give you I'm going to give you a little example from my life. I don't know if you knew this about me, but I've been on a bit of a journey of fitness over the last 6 years or so. But it started before that. As a young person, I was crazy about sport. Like, every playtime, every club, everything I could do, I would do. I was, you know, give me a ball, make it competitive. That was me, I was there. Do you know what I mean? Fully in, studs up. No, no, try not to, but a little bit over keen most of the time. Still a bit over keen. I've just started playing racquetball with Roger. I'm still a bit over keen, aren't I, Roger? Yeah. Anyway, this desire, this habit that I grew, meant that I ended up playing lots and lots of sport, not just at school, but outside of school. Cricket, football, squash, basketball, you name it. Someone offered it, I'd be there doing it. And it eventually led to me going off to university and studying, teaching and studying sport. And, you know, I loved university. I got to play loads of sport and have lots of fun. However, after university, like most of us, I found I had a lot less time, less energy, and less opportunity to play sport. You know, it was harder to organise, it cost more money, and it used up more of the limited time that I had. On top of this, I picked up a couple of injuries, I met the woman of my dreams, got married, and started to indulge in my other favourite activity, eating. You can see what's going on here, can't you? What's going to happen? You know, and then we started having kids. And then I thought, you know, you think you've got plenty of time and then you have kids. No. The net result was I started at about 10 and a half stone and then ended up over 16 stone. 25 and pretty fit to nearly 40 and in trouble. A friend of mine offered to play a game of squash on me, and I thought, I'll do that. I need to get fit again. I need to get back into this. And I ended up snapping my Achilles tendon. And that was the beginning of the realization that I was no longer what I perceived that I was. You know, in my head, I was still 10 stone, maybe a little bit bigger. You know, I was still naturally fit, just needed to sharpen up around the edges. Do you know what I mean? That wasn't the truth. And the truth came about because I had some friends that kind of fronted me up and said, Ed, you've let it go. You've dropped the ball, mate. You're this big, fat person that you weren't before. And we used to respect you. We used to look up to you and think you're a really good sportsman. And now look at the state of you. You know, and that was a real mirror for me. One of the other things that happened at the time was I remember running for a train and getting out of breath after about 100 metres going, cool, I must be sick or something. This doesn't normally happen. And then that happened a couple of times and I thought, do you know what, actually, I really am very unfit. You might think, why am I sharing this with you? Well, since then I've changed my habits. You know, the habits that I developed after I left university fed exactly what I became. I only had to look at my life to realise why I'd become the way I'd become. I spent the last 6 years changing those habits with the help of friends. My friends that told me I was a bit too large. My other friends here, Trevor, when he was here, was encouraging me to start running again. Some of the other guys that come running on a Saturday morning at Park Run. And all of those things have I've added to them with other habits. You know, I've set goals. I've set goals on my weight. I've set goals on my exercise. I've set goals on my sleep. I've set goals on all sorts of things in order to change who I was into who I wanted to be. The funny thing is, when you start any new habit, it feels flipping awful, doesn't it? It doesn't feel right. You think, this isn't right. I shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't feel like that. It's difficult. It's like putting on the coat the wrong size. It's like, I want to just take it off and go, no, that's obviously the wrong thing. I shouldn't be wearing that. But you know, the encouragement I had from my wife, from my friends, from my family, from within community, have kept me going. I've had my ups and my downs. I've put weight back on. I've taken a bit of weight back off. But the overall arc of the curve has been an upward one. Back to fitness. And I've even achieved things that I thought I'd never do, like run a marathon with these guys and some other people in this church. But this is how change occurs, through doing things, through habits. Habits that bring life to us. By identifying, or in my case, having things pointed out to me, that the gaps between what I think I am and what I actually am, between who I say I am and what I actually am, between who I am and who I want to be. How about you? I know after this week that my perception of who I am has changed. My desire for that change has increased. My vision for who God's called me to be has changed. But now's the hard bit, isn't it? Now's the bit where I have to change the practices of my life. I have to change the beliefs in my head. And I have to change my relationship with God for these changes to be solidified, to become habitual, to become real, and for me to see the fruit of those things. I'm going to take a little break here, 2 second break. I don't know about you, but sometimes when people talk about these things, they talk about disciplines. I think sometimes habits is a little bit easier. What things, and best way to describe it, what things do you do? Share one thing with your neighbour that gives you life. Share one thing that brings life, and then we'll just reflect those back and see if we can, between us, get a nice little list of things. Ready? You've got 1 minute. Go. Okay, Gwen, I want you to share the other person that you've been speaking to's great tip, because then you haven't got to embarrass yourself. You're embarrassing someone else. You see, it's much easier. Ready? Who's going to go first? James, go on. Yeah, achieving goals. Yeah. Going on holiday, having rest. We could call that taking time to rest, yeah? Slowing down. There's a theme coming here, isn't there? Yeah? Anything else? Walking the dog. What does that give you? So it gives you some time to be silent, to be on your own. So sometimes that's called solitude and silence. It's not always silent if you're shouting after the dog, but often it can be if he's behaving himself. Being in nature. Yeah. Anyone else? Go on. Worship. brings you lots of life, worshiping and prayer. Yeah? Cool. And go on. Got some, I bet you've got some good ones. No? Yeah, go on. Share if you want to. Tidying up. Yeah. Sometimes that's called simplicity, isn't it? Having life ordered and simplified. Yeah. Any more? Playing badminton. Yeah. Fantastic. I find it really, it's really interesting, isn't it? The things that bring us life. Some of the habits of the spiritual life, and there's millions of them, are things that we probably already do. And some are maybe things you've never even tried. But they could be reading the Bible, making sure you have times of confession, fasting. There's the discipline of being grateful, or silence or solitude, as we've said, or prayer or study. But all these things are about leading us into a deeper relationship with God, leading us to a place where we can receive His love, experience the light of His Spirit, and change the things in our hearts. Faithfulness. The ness is the action. If someone is gentle, it's a characteristic, isn't it? If they display gentleness, it's an action. So faithfulness is also an action. It's the fruit from the belief and the connection with the Father to its fullness, which leads to this action. I don't know about you, I've always been an inside-out kind of person. I've realised when I got married, I'd say always, when I got married, I realised that if I don't change things on the inside, it's very difficult to change things on the outside. The truth is, the mission has always been the same for Christians. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. You could say that is to be in intimate relationship with the Father. And you can see that in the way that Jesus lived his life. And the second part is to love our neighbour as ourself. That is to be the people God has called us to be and do the things he's called us to do. To be the missional people of God. Telling, showing, and demonstrating the sacrificial love of God in all areas of our lives. Whether that's at home, at work, in church, or in the other places of our lives. God is faithful to us. Jesus was faithful to the cross and beyond. And we are given the opportunity to be filled by the Holy Spirit and to develop the fruit of faithfulness in our own lives. How? By finding the patterns and ways of life that lead us away from death and replacing them with the patterns and ways of life that lead to life. Why? Because God desires that intimate relationship with us, with Him. Where we can receive His blessing and be that blessing to the world. Shall we just pray? Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. We thank you that you've been here, but we just welcome you again in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I just pray right now that you would come and fill us up, each and every one of us, with your Holy Spirit. And as we still our hearts, Lord, just illuminate one thing that you would want to change in us. Lord, we're sorry we've fallen short. And we ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, I just pray that in that gap, the gap between who we are and who we want to be, your Spirit would dwell. And Lord, as we leave this place tonight, I just pray that you would give us the space and the time and the energy to think about how that change might come about.